So if you had this like massive personal army of AI agents and they could just instantly process every financial filing ever published, scrape endless amounts of data, and build these incredibly complex valuation models in literally seconds, would you just automatically become a billionaire?
I mean, yeah, that is the ultimate modern investor's fantasy, isn't it? The idea that just having raw, unadulterated computational power is somehow the master key to unlocking the markets.
Right, you just push a button, the agents do all the math, and the money prints. But today, we're doing a deep dive into the final chapter of the AI Native Investor curriculum.
Yep, chapter 10.
Exactly, a chapter titled From Technique to the Way Your Agent is a Mirror. And well, we are going to completely shatter that illusion today.
We really have to.
Yeah.
Because there's this massive, often painful gap between having the ultimate analytical tools, what Japanese martial arts call jiu-jitsu or technique, and actually possessing sound investing judgment.
Which they call do, or the way.
Oh, right, exactly. Giving someone a state-of-the-art toolkit doesn't just magically give them judgment. It forces you to look at what you've actually built when you use these AI models over the past several years, and more importantly, what you haven't built yet.
So for you, the listener, let's just establish where you are at this point in the curriculum. I mean, you've built up some seriously impressive skills.
Oh, absolutely.
You know how to take a company's historical returns and break them down to see exactly where the profits actually came from. You can feed a 10K, those massive legally mandated annual reports into an AI and have it analyzed through multiple different lenses.
Without getting completely lost in the dense legal footnotes, which is huge.
Right. And you know how to design a multi-agent workflow and write an investment thesis with like strict kill criteria that tells you exactly when to abandon a bad idea.
Which, to be fair, is a genuinely formidable set of capabilities. I mean, most retail investors simply do not possess that level of rigor at all. Even a lot of professional analysts only have pieces of it.
Yeah, that's true.
You have essentially built a cognitive scaffolding. It organizes your thinking and it prevents you from making certain categories of just, basic unforced errors. But there is a very blunt reality we have to confront here. Scaffolding is not a building.
It's just the framework. So, what is the actual building? Like, what haven't you built yet?
Real experience. The scaffolding is not a substitute for the pattern recognition that only comes from making decisions with actual capital on the line.
Right, when it's your real money.
Exactly. It doesn't replace the visceral experience of watching those decisions play out over years, or, the physical feeling of being wrong in ways you completely failed to anticipate. Consider Charlie Munger.
Oh, right, the lattice work idea.
Yes. Munger famously spent 60 years building what he called a lattice work of mental models. That lattice wasn't a curriculum he just downloaded. It was the residue of thousands of real decisions.
And every single one of those decisions left a scar or a lesson.
Exactly. And no amount of reading or prompting a large language model could ever artificially inject that kind of experience into a human brain.
I really want to push back on this massive narrative on the internet right now, though, which is this idea that AI, democratizes finance.
Right, you hear that everywhere.
People are saying that because they have access to an AI agent, they can suddenly compete head to head with a Wall Street hedge fund. And to me, that feels like giving someone a Formula One steering wheel, like the one with the digital screens and 100 different configuration
Yeah, the
buttons.
really complicated ones.
Exactly. And telling them they're now ready to beat a professional racing team.
That's a great analogy. The steering wheel makes you a driver. It does not mean you win the Grand Prix.
Because that racing team owns a private testing track, right? They have a pit crew of 50 specialized engineers analyzing telemetry data in real time. They basically help write the regulations for the sport. The AI gives you a steering wheel for public data, but the institutions still have the private track.
Let's look at the mechanics of why institutions still hold advantages that your AI agent simply cannot replicate. So, first is proprietary data.
Okay.
Your AI is brilliant at reading public filings, but hedge funds are buying alternative data feeds. We're talking about satellite imagery tracking the number of cars in retail parking lots to predict quarterly earnings before they happen.
Wow. literally counting cars from space.
Exactly. They are running industrial-scale web scraping, purchasing massive anonymized credit card transaction databases. Those cost millions of dollars a year. They are not sitting on public APIs for your agent to easily grab.
And then there's just the sheer physics of it, right? Speed.
Yeah.
Institutional trading systems operate on milliseconds.
Milliseconds, yeah.
Bloomberg's proprietary news feeds hit their terminals minutes before that information trickles down to public media. And in financial markets, minutes literally translate to millions of dollars. No amount of clever prompting on your laptop is going to bend the laws of physics and compensate for a millisecond latency advantage.
And perhaps the most fundamentally human advantage of all relationships. Right. A portfolio manager who has covered the semiconductor sector for 15 years doesn't just read the public transcripts. They have deep relationships. They know the management teams personally. They talk to the suppliers. They have industry contacts.
Basically, an AI agent cannot take a chief financial officer out to dinner to get a read on their actual unspoken confidence level.
Precisely.
Okay, so if we accept that we cannot beat the institutions on speed,
mm-hmm.
and we can't beat them on insider access or proprietary data, how are we supposed to use these tools? Because it almost sounds like you're saying the AI is useless against the big players.
No, not useless, but fundamentally misunderstood. This brings us to a really core concept called the mirror principle.
The mirror principle.
Yeah. To understand how to use the AI, you have to understand that agents are simply mirrors of our own thinking.
I think of this like a malicious genie. You know those old folk tales where a guy asks a genie for $1 million and the genie drops a million male deer-like bucks on his house, completely crushing it?
Yes. The genie gives you exactly what you ask for, but not what you actually want.
Exactly.
And the mechanism behind this is entirely mathematical. Large language models are essentially massive prediction engines trained on the entire internet. If you give them a vague, unconstrained prompt, they mathematically revert to the mean.
So they just give you the average response.
Sure. They will give you the most average, heavily repeated opinion available. If you just type into your agent, "Is NVIDIA a good investment?" you are asking a vague question.
And so you get a completely empty, consensus-flavored summary. It'll be perfectly balanced, it will hedge its bets, and it will tell you absolutely nothing you couldn't have found by just searching the web for 2 minutes.
Because the agent isn't being lazy. Mm. It is mirroring your lack of precision. But if you ask a precise question, for example, NVIDIA's data center revenue grew 122% last year, driven mostly by hyperscalers, you know, the giant cloud providers like Amazon and Google.
Okay, set it in the context.
Right. And then you say, run a scenario showing what happens to that growth rate if those three largest customers start building their own internal training chips within 2 years. Now you have fundamentally changed the game.
Because you've forced the agent to do actual heavy lifting. It has to pull specific data, run a defined mathematical scenario, and reason through the secondary consequences.
Exactly. The output is useful because the input was highly specific. The analytical precision belongs to you. The sheer speed and computational accuracy belong to the machine.
But this introduces a very subtle psychological trap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the mirror doesn't just reflect your thinking. It flatters it.
And it distorts it.
Yes, the formatting trap. I mean, you run a prompt, and the AI spits out this incredibly articulate document. It has bold headings, perfectly nested bullet points, confident corporate language. It feels like incredibly thorough research.
It looks so professional.
It does. Are we basically just confusing the AI's clean formatting with our own intelligence? Like, it flatters us into thinking we're making brilliant bets just because the PDF looks nice?
It absolutely creates a powerful illusion of certainty. Furthermore, the agent inherently brings biases into that perfectly formatted document. It biases toward recency, toward consensus, toward whatever narrative is most prevalent in its training data.
Right.
And understanding this leads to one of the most profound realizations for an investor, which is that information does not compound.
Let's just pause on that because it feels completely counterintuitive to everything we're taught. I mean, we are raised to believe that more information is always better. If I have more data than the next guy, I win.
In investing, the marginal value of the 500th research report on a company you already understand is essentially zero. In fact, it's often negative.
Negative. How so?
Because it gives you a false sense of security. You could run a 12-agent AI fleet and generate 50 pages of complex market analysis in a single afternoon.
Which feels incredibly productive. You sit back and think, man, look at all this work I just did.
But if those 50 pages don't change any of your core assumptions about the business, it was worse than a waste of time. It was pure illusion. Howard Marks, the legendary investor, differentiates between first-level and second-level thinking.
Okay, break that down for us.
Well, first-level thinking says, this is a great company, so I will buy the stock. Second-level thinking says, this is a great company, but everyone on Earth already knows that. Therefore, the stock price already reflects how great it is.
Ah, I see.
So the real question is this company actually going to perform even better than the market currently expects?
So moving from first level to second level thinking isn't about having an AI generate 50 more pages of summaries. Mm-hmm. It's about processing the exact same information with a fundamentally deeper, more critical question.
Yes. Because agents make it so trivially easy to generate those 50 pages, they create the most dangerous urge an investor can face.
Which is what?
The constant urge to act.
Oh, man. Which brings us to what might be the absolute hardest skill in the entire financial world, doing nothing.
Genuinely doing nothing. The vast majority of your time as an investor should be spent not investing. Mispriced opportunities are incredibly rare. If you are finding a brand new stock to buy every single week, you are not being selective.
You're just being entertained.
Exactly.
Warren Buffett always uses the baseball analogy here. Investing is like waiting for the fat pitch. The beauty of the stock market is that, unlike actual baseball, there are no called strikes. You don't get penalized for letting 1,000 pitches go by.
None at all.
The cost of inaction is just opportunity cost. But the cost of swinging at a bad pitch, investing in a flawed thesis, that is real painful destruction of your capital.
And this is where the AI fleet actively works against human psychology. The tools incentivize activity. When you can research any company on Earth in 30 minutes, the temptation to pull the trigger is just constant.
Wait, I have to challenge this whole premise. If I have a supercomputer at my fingertips that can scan every stock on the planet, analyze every balance sheet, and read every transcript in like 30 seconds, why on earth am I waiting for a fat pitch? Shouldn't my AI be finding me 10 fat pitches a day? Why is patience still required if the machine is doing all the heavy lifting?
Because markets are largely efficient. The AI can process data instantly, but it cannot create a mispricing out of thin air. Just because the AI can analyze 1,000 companies doesn't mean any of those companies are actually trading at a massive discount to their true value.
Right.
Finding the data is easy. Finding the market's collective mistake is incredibly hard.
So the AI is just throwing hundreds of perfectly analyzed, totally average pitches my way every single day.
And making them look really tempting. This is why Peter Lynch's concept of the circle of competence is more vital now than ever. Lynch's rule was simple. Invest in what you understand.
Which makes sense.
But for most people, that circle is small. It's your own professional industry, or maybe one or two specific sectors you studied deeply for years.
But see, the AI creates an artificial circle of competence. I could have my agent write a brilliant PhD-level report on, say, semiconductor supply chains in Taiwan. Mm. I read it, and suddenly I feel like a 20-year sector specialist. I feel like it's inside my circle.
But it isn't. Reading that AI report gives you the vocabulary of an expert, but it doesn't give you the deep, nuanced context of an industry veteran.
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. You don't know what the report is missing. You don't know which industry standard assumptions are actually quietly turning out to be wrong. Outside your true circle of competence, the AI isn't amplifying your edge. It is just amplifying your overconfidence.
Wow. So the honest move is knowing exactly where your actual human understanding ends. Yeah. Inside your real circle, use the AI to speed up the grunt work. Outside of it, treat the AI's output with extreme skepticism.
Precisely.
But we have to acknowledge a trade-off here, right? Patience has a very real cost. If I'm just sitting in cash for 10 years waiting for this mythical fat pitch, I'm missing out on the broader market compounding.
Which is a huge risk.
Right. The S&P 500 historically returns around 10% a year. Mm. If I do nothing, I lose to inflation.
Yeah. The solution isn't to abandon patience. It's to structure your portfolio to allow for it. Keep the vast majority of your money in low-cost index funds. That way, your capital is continuously capturing the broad market's upward trend.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then, you bound your active bets. Reserve a specific, smaller portion of your portfolio exclusively for the highly selective, thesis-driven investing you're using your AI agents for.
Okay, so if the core strategy is mostly indexing, sitting patiently, limiting our actions, and constantly questioning our AI's output, what exactly are we building toward? Let's take a 25-year view. Fast forward to the year 2051.
By 2051, AI agents will be unimaginably faster and smarter than what we have today. They will integrate data sources we can't even conceptualize right now.
So the tools get basically perfect.
Right. The analytical edge, the ability to process information faster or build a better spreadsheet will completely erode, because every single person on Earth will have a flawless analytical engine right in their pocket.
So if the analytical edge drops to zero, what fundamentally remains?
The human being. You still have to make the final decision, and you still have to bear the consequences.
The emotional consequences.
Exactly. Your mortgage, your family's future, your psychological panic when a stock you own drops 30% in a single morning. No AI software upgrade is ever going to change how that panic feels in your stomach.
When everyone has the exact same superintelligence, the only differentiator left is what?
Character. Character becomes your ultimate unassailable edge.
Character. Honestly, that sounds like a cheesy platitude you'd read on a motivational poster in a break room. What does character actually mean in the context of high-level investing?
It is intensely practical, actually. It means intellectual honesty, the ability to look at new evidence and change your mind rather than using your AI to rationalize a bet that is clearly going bad.
Right, fighting confirmation bias.
Exactly. It means emotional discipline, having the stomach to hold a position when the market temporarily moves against you, but the humility to sell immediately when your core thesis actually breaks.
Recognizing that you will be wrong.
Yes. Your goal is simply to be wrong in ways that don't wipe you out.
It is incredibly ironic. We are talking about the final chapter of a deeply technical, highly advanced curriculum on artificial intelligence. And the ultimate takeaway, the true competitive advantage of the future, is psychological advice from 1949.
Benjamin Graham's The Intelligent Investor. It remains the bedrock. His core insight was that a stock is not a flickering ticker symbol or a lottery ticket. It is a fractional ownership claim on a real living business.
At a real company.
Right. And every piece of technology invented since 1949, from the first electronic ticker tapes to Bloomberg terminals to algorithmic high-frequency trading and now generative AI agents, they only change the speed at which we process information.
But they don't change the game itself.
They do not change the fundamental reality of buying a claim on future cash flows.
Graham explicitly warned that the investor's worst enemy is likely to be himself. In 1949, the human brain panicked during a market crash. In 2051, surrounded by quantum AI, the human brain is still going to panic during a market crash. The tools get light years better, but the enemy in the mirror stays exactly the same.
Which is why the good news is that right now is the greatest training ground in financial history.
How so?
Well, before AI, practicing a full investment analysis cycle, finding a company, reading the reports, building the valuation models, stress testing the thesis cost a fortune in professional software fees, or took weeks of manual labor.
Yeah, you needed a whole team.
Today, you can run 50 full cycles for a few dollars in API calls.
So it builds your pattern recognition incredibly cheaply. You get reps in.
Exactly. But, and this is crucial, physiological learning, the kind of learning that actually rewires your nervous system, still requires the pain of losing real money. You simply cannot simulate the emotional weight of consequence.
Which brings us to the final test of the curriculum. How do you actually train character when you are so deeply reliant on these analytical tools? The course ends with this really fascinating challenge that forces you to lock in that transition from technique to judgment.
Yes, the final workshop.
You strip the technology away entirely.
Yeah.
The final workshop takes about 45 to 60 minutes. And the absolute strictest rule, no AI agents allowed. Zero. You are flying solo to write a 500-word document.
Because if you ran this final challenge through an agent, it would produce something highly articulate, perfectly structured, and completely devoid of your actual soul.
I imagine staring at that blank screen feels incredibly vulnerable. It's like a pop singer who has relied on studio magic for years suddenly being forced to perform live without auto-tune.
That's exactly what it feels like.
You have to confront the unpolished, raw reality of your own voice, your own actual convictions, and your own blind spots without a machine smoothing out the edges. So what is this assignment?
You are instructed to write a letter to yourself today from the perspective of your future self in 2051. You must write as someone who has been investing for a quarter of a century, someone who has lived through massive bear markets, speculative manias, who has made brilliant bets and suffered agonizing losses.
And the letter has to cover three specific things. First, a deep insight you wish you understood sooner. And it cannot be technical.
Right, no formulas.
You can't write, "I wish I knew how to calculate a discounted cash flow faster." It has to be a human insight about patience, or dealing with envy, or making decisions under extreme uncertainty.
Second, you have to write about a mistake you are deeply grateful for, a specific, painful failure that taught you a lesson you couldn't have earned any other way.
And third, you have to tell yourself what you learned about the relationship between tools and judgment, knowing that in 2051, the tools are basically indistinguishable from magic compared to what we have today. What actually stayed the same?
And once you finish writing this unassisted letter, you seal it.
Yeah.
You set a calendar reminder for exactly 1 year from today. You do not look at it.
Because over that next year, you are going to be making real financial decisions. You're going to feel FOMO. You're going to get scared out of a good position.
Oh, absolutely.
The gap between the idealized wisdom you wrote in that letter today and the messy reality of how you actually behave over the next 12 months, that gap is where your true education begins.
You spend all this time learning to command the machine, only to realize the machine is ultimately just a mechanism to help you command yourself.
Let's bring all of this together. We've explored how all these incredible AI frameworks, the workflows, the models, they're just scaffolding.
Just the beginning.
We unpack the mirror principle, realizing that the value of an AI is entirely dictated by the precision and depth of the human asking the question. We talk about the sheer agonizing discipline required to do nothing, to resist the illusion of productivity, and to wait for a genuine opportunity within your actual circle of competence.
Right.
And ultimately, we discovered that as technology approaches perfection, true investing edge isn't about computational power at all. It is fundamentally about human character.
It is a profound shift in perspective for anyone navigating modern finance.
And that leaves me with a final thought for you to mull over. We established that agents are a mirror reflecting the quality of our questions. But if that is fundamentally true, what if the ultimate value of an AI agent in 2051 isn't in the answers it gives you about the stock market?
Wait, what do you mean?
Think about the data trail you're creating. Over 25 years, your AI is quietly logging every vague question you ask in a moment of panic. It logs every rushed research report you demand just because you're feeling FOMO about a trending stock.
Oh, wow.
It sees every time you deliberately ignore your own pre-written kill criteria because you fell in love with the company's narrative. What if its greatest value is in the patterns it reveals about you?
The AI becomes a perfect, undeniable diagnostic tool for your own psychological flaws.
Exactly. An unblinking mirror that doesn't just reflect your prompts, but reflects your character over decades. What if the greatest financial return this incredible technology can offer isn't picking the next big tech stock, but simply showing you exactly who you are under pressure? So if you had that army of AI agents, maybe the billionaire you need to conquer first is yourself.